this preacher. And in his sermon, it was the world's meanest preacher that was the one who failed to teach the people what the Scriptures say about giving. It was Jesus that said, and it was reported of Him as saying, "It is more blessed to give than it is to receive." There are so many people and so many churches teaching so many different things about giving. Some scholars teach that tithing is not for today. That you don't tithe, it's an Old Testament principle. Some people teach that tithing is a starting place. And some scholars teach that, yes, tithing is for today plus grace giving. But I want to stand before you, and I don't say this arrogantly, but I say this sincerely. It matters not what the scholars say. It matters what the Word says. And whenever I counsel in premarital counseling, one of the things I want to do from this point forward, having been married 22, almost 23 years, and counseling a lot of folks and listening to people and being counseled myself and learning things, there is perhaps nothing more contentious. Well, there's some things. There's about three things. I won't mention all three, just one. One of the things that is contentious in a relationship is money. And anytime there are two people and you're dealing with money, there's the potential for conflict. Oftentimes in a marriage, there are some who, as one person is real frugal and doesn't want to spend any money. And then on the other end of the spectrum is someone who's carefree and likes to spend money. And you say, well, it works. And then every once in a while, you meet somebody, they're both carefree and they're flat broke. And you know what I'm saying? As many of us are. But I would say this. Jesus spoke about money very often in the Scriptures. As a matter of fact, Jesus said this: "You cannot serve God and mammon." Mammon is wealth. Why didn't He say, "You cannot serve God and idols"? You cannot serve God and self. You cannot serve God and any other thing. He chose that specifically because, listen, hear me out. I tell you with much hurt and a history. If you serve money and it controls you, it will kill you. It will kill you. And we have to be careful that we don't allow anything to control us but Jesus Christ. Now, some of you I've already lost when I mentioned the subject of giving. And I hope I have not lost you, because I want to show you what the Scriptures say in the Word of God. In Proverbs chapter 3, the writer of the Proverbs is instructing his son on wisdom. He goes through various topics. And he lands on this in verse number 9. He says this: "Honor the Lord with thy substance." Your possessions is what he's saying. Honor the Lord with your possessions. "And with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses, thy vats, shall burst out with new wine." It shall overflow with new wine. Father, we ask You to bless the reading of Your Word. I pray that You'd fill me with Your Spirit. Help me to communicate this Word. Lord, may You be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. And amen. We come to this passage of Scripture, and a lot of people have this notion, because something is in the Old Testament and we are living in New Testament grace era or dispensation of grace, that what's taught in the Old Testament doesn't matter. But let me assure you, the Scriptures that Jesus had were the Old Testament scriptures. When Jesus was on the earth and he quoted scripture, he quoted Old Testament scriptures. And we have allowed men to come into our lives who were supposedly scholarly and genius and sway us into two or three different kinds of camps that's man-made. And we have taken the power away from the Word of God. In that, we go to the Scriptures with our preconceived notion of what the Scriptures say, rather than the Scriptures speaking in their authority and believing it, where it's literal, and we interpret it literally, and we believe it, and we obey it, and we do it, whether we agree with it or understand it or not, we do it. And it is one of the single most affecting things in the church today. Timothy writing or receiving the letter from Paul, Paul's most intimate last letter, he says this. In the last days, perilous time, he gives all this stuff that's going to happen. And he tells Timothy, listen, this is how you stand in the last days. You remember the Word of God that you were taught faithfully and who taught it to you. And that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It's profitable for correction, for reproof. Whoops. It's profitable to change everything about us. It's important that we understand the significance of Scripture. Paul says, Timothy, you stand on the Word of God. And you preach the Word in the last days. And so I encourage you, as we look at this subject, please don't shut me out because I'm dealing with a sensitive subject of giving. I know you work hard. I know your money is earned. I know that. But don't miss what the Scriptures say. Don't miss out on the joy that God allows us to participate in. Honor the Lord with thy substance. Honor the Lord with your possessions. You know that 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30 says this. It says, them that honor me, look down in the bottom there, be it far me, for them that honor me, I will honor. That is a promise from Almighty God. Them that honor me, I will honor. Guys, just because it's in the Old Testament doesn't mean that it's not true. It is very much so true. It is a promise of God that people that honor Him, He will in fact honor. He will honor. Now what's this business of honor? We come to the text and it says, honor the Lord. And in this text, he is telling his son, listen son, if you want to be wise in life, if you want biblical wisdom, honor the Lord through your giving. Now, how in the world can we honor the Lord through our giving? Well, I want you to know about this honor is important. Do you know that you and I were created to honor, to worship the Lord? The only reason you are here is because God so willed it for you to be here. And the only reason that you are breathing now is because God gave you breath to breathe. In Colossians 1:16, and he's going to pull it up on the screen for me. For by Him were all things created. Jesus. That's in heaven. That's in earth. Visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him. And notice this phrase. And for Him. For His honor. For His glory. For Him. You and I were created to worship Him. Yet the longer we're alive, we make it about us. It's about me. It's about me. It's about what I like, what I want. And the Scriptures say, God created us. God created us to honor Him. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, John gets a vision of heaven and what's taking place in heaven. And they're singing and they're praising around the throne. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure, for Thy honor, for Thy glory, they are and were created. Our life is but for to honor Jesus Christ. Now, how many of us have heard Christians' testimonies and testifying something like this? I want to honor the Lord. I want to honor the Lord. How many of you have heard that? All I want to do is honor the Lord. I want to give Him glory. Yet, when it comes to the Scriptures and what the Scripture says about giving God honor and glory, Solomon, who I think is the one writing, is teaching his son, if you want to be wise, you're going to honor the Lord. And if you're going to honor the Lord, you can do that through your giving. Why? Because, I'll tell you, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. So how do we honor God through our giving? Well, first of all, we honor God by our giving. When we give to Him, we acknowledge our purpose. And our purpose, I've already told you what it is to glorify God. It's to glorify God. God, I believe You that You have given me the ability to work. You have given me my job. You have allowed me this privilege. And of the 100% You give me, all You ask back for me is 10%. 10%. And people are arguing, should we tithe or should we not? When someone says, Pastor, do I have to tithe? The first question I want to ask is, why do you ask? It's a fair question. You know why? Because if you're asking me so that you cannot feel guilty about not giving to God, then I'm going to say yes. Because if you're feeling guilty, it's not guilt you're feeling conviction. But if you're asking me because you sincerely want to know, then I'm going to point you and let the Scriptures speak for themselves. One of the sermons I will preach this month is tithing for today. Is tithing for today. And I am not going to stand up here and say, listen, there's a formula. If you do this, this, and this, you're going to have this, this, and this. Understand me, the Bible nowhere teaches, as some charlatans are teaching, that God is concerned about your creature comforts. God cares about souls. He cares about men and women. And let me tell you something. God has been speaking to me about trying to force the issue, trying to build a church, and no. Jesus said, I will build my church. Guys, listen, it's simple. It's about you and me walking with God. Walking with God. Moment by moment, day by day. It's not difficult. We make all these formulas and all these things. It's simple. Do I want to honor God with my life? If I'm not giving to God in His work, I cannot honor God. My purpose is to honor Him. And if I'm not honoring Him through my giving, then I'm not fulfilling my purpose. Number two, how do we honor God by giving to Him? We establish our priorities when we give. Without knowing anything about anybody, even visitors that come through the door, two things I can look at and I can tell you your priorities. Number one, your checkbook register. And number two, your day calendar. If you were honest and you recorded everything in there and you lay them out and I were to examine them not knowing anything about you, I could tell you where your priorities and you could do the same about me. You could do the same about me. Guys, we say we believe in world missions, yet we struggle. We struggle to get our missions budget. Are our priorities right? We invest so much money in worldly things, and we stay for so long to have worldly things that we think bring us joy, but it brings us more obligations and more problems and more devastation in our life. Some 2 weeks ago, around the world, there was this great conversation. If I win the lottery, I could do so much work for the cause of Christ. God says, "Oh, I didn't think about that. I'm going to give you the lottery so you can win it and do all that, because I don't know what's going to happen to us if we don't." Now, we laugh about it, but it's true. And I don't know who's bought or not. I'm not picking on you, but I'm telling you, you just spent $2 to buy a dream is all you did. You remember Tattoo and Fantasy Island? The plane? A bunch of Americans live in fantasy. Fantasies. Listen, if you're not giving now out of what you have, you're not going to give out of what God would bless you with, a windfall of money. Because it's a heart issue. It's not a not having issue. When we give to the Lord, we establish our priorities. Notice he says here, honor the Lord with thy substance, your possessions, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. All. First fruits. God gets His first. And when you do that, it's setting in my heart that my treasure's with You, Lord. My treasure's not in this portfolio. My treasure's not in this worldly possession. My treasure is with You, O God. My treasure's with You. It's with You. Because You matter more to me than anyone. Years ago, in the early stages of Dallas Seminary, they were about to go bankrupt. And they met together in the president's office. And the president said, he told his secretary, he said, "By no means do you interrupt me. We have gathered our board together and we are praying that God would save this institution." In that midst of men praying, Dr. Harry Ironside, I think it was the one, I hope I'm not quoting this incorrectly, so I will not stake my name on it, but one of the men in there prayed, "Lord, we know You own the cattle on 1,000 hills. So would You please sell some of those cattle and give the money to the school so we can continue to train men for ministry?" About that time, the secretary knocked on the door, and she spoke, and he said, "Listen, don't, Dr. Schaefer," and he said, don't interrupt. He said, "I'll talk to you in a minute." She said, "No, you've got to come out of here quickly." He said, "I can't. I'm busy. I'm praying." She said, "No, you've got to come out here. You have to come out here." And he walked out there in the hallway, and there was a man in bib overalls who had just come from the cattle auction at Fort Worth, the stockyards. And he had a check in his hand, and he said, "The Lord told me to give you this check." And it was just the amount they needed. And he had just sold cattle. And we're sitting here thinking, "Yeah, right, cute story." But listen, none of us have ever even tried God on it. We've never even asked God on it. We've never even cried out to God and asked Him, because we're just afraid that He might not do it and we will look foolish. Well, you're praying for the wrong reason, and you're praying out of pride. And I'm telling you that when you give, you honor God with your priorities, and you say, "God, You are first." One of the biggest issues we're facing in our land today is churches about popularity. It's about success. It's about all these things. But I tell you, the Bible says it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. God's idea is faithfulness, not success. Faithfulness. And when we're faithful to give of that which He has given, the first fruits, we are establishing that He is our priority. None of us wants to open up our checkbook and let anybody read and see our finances. But what are we going to do when we stand before Almighty God and all the records are laid open, and He knows everything, and He knows how I cared more about the fads of time and keeping up with the Joneses? No pun, any Joneses in here. I said that one time, and poor Kurt Jones sat back there, and I said, "Brother, I wasn't saying that on purpose." But I'm telling you this. It's time we stand up as believers and say, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He is my Lord and my Savior. To Him I bow my knee. What He wants is what I want. If I'm going to honor Him, I'm going to do it His way." Colossians 1:18 says this. Give him just a second to pull it up there. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Now watch this. That in how many things? Read it. All things. He might have the preeminence. How much of you does He have? Is He preeminent in our lives? You see, giving is not the issue, guys. The issue is our purpose and our priorities. That's the real issue. If those are right, giving is simple. Why? Because you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. You cannot love without giving. That's why parents always strive to give their kids more than what they had. Why? I'll tell you why. Because they love their children. And they understand that when it comes to their children, they love, and because they love, they give. What happens when it comes to Christ? I'm sitting here thinking about, I read that this morning and it shook me up about those Koreans, those North Koreans having to go out on a boat and passing around scriptures. And over there in our CE building, we've got a box full of the Gospel of John and Romans we had printed up. And they're sitting in a box. It ought to be our goal that we get together as a church family and make sure that everybody in Scioto County has a copy of the Gospel of John and Romans. Wouldn't that be a great task? Missionaries tell story of a man who was in prison. And the guy came in to hand out Gideon Bibles. And the Gideon Bibles paper is the same paper that's made rolling paper. And one of the inmates, the guy said, "I would like a Bible." And he said, "Why do you want a Bible?" And he said, "I want to smoke it." He said, "I'll tell you what, I'll give you this Bible if you read each page before you smoke it." He went back and he said, "Man, I smoked Matthew. I smoked Mark. I smoked Luke. And John smoked me." He came to faith in Christ. Guys, listen to me. Or is our priority Jesus Christ? Man, I hate to say this. You are some of the most, and I want to say this, but I don't want you to think I'm picking on you, because you are some of the most serving, loving people. But I'm telling you, ever increasingly, our society is putting more and more before Jesus Christ. I am ashamed to say that there are more things important to some people in this world on Wednesday nights than Awana. But the same people complain about our generation of kids coming up. What are you going to do about it? We nitpick at everybody else's sins. And I'm telling you, listen, we've got to get our eyes off each other, get our eyes on Christ, and it's got to be our priority. And when we give to Jesus, when we give to His cause, when we give to world missions, when we do this, we're saying, "Lord, my priority is You. I give You first." And everything else gets in line. There's a third thing that happens. There's a third thing that happens when we give to honor Him. We honor Him when we give by declaring our belief in His promises. I have noticed this. It struck me one time when I was preparing for a funeral. I most often, always in the funeral, refer to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And I don't care who's heard it. I don't care if you've been to any of my sermons. You'll see I preach the same sermon for every funeral. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. I've noticed a pattern in Scripture. Whenever God gives us instruction, He follows it up with a promise. Don't you just love Him? Whenever He gives us instruction, He follows it up with a promise. And He says, listen, if you will honor God with all your possessions, if you will honor Him with the first fruits of all your increase, look at verse 10, so that your barns will be filled with plenty, and thy presses, your vats, shall burst or overflow with new wine. When you and I give to the Lord, we honor the Lord by saying, "Lord, we believe Your promises." We believe Your promises. What are you talking about, promises? 2 Corinthians 1:20. 2 Corinthians 1:20 tells us, "For all the promises in God are yea, and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us." All the promises are in Him. Yea, and amen. Yea, and amen. 2 Peter 1:4 tells us this. It says, whereby we are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. When you believe the promises of God, you escape the world and the corruption of the world that comes to us through lust. It's the promises of God. How many of you can say that God has never kept His promises? God has always kept His promise. There's not one recorded, nothing in history of the world, of the universe, of the earth, where God has broken His promise. He has kept every promise He has made. And He has revealed to us in this book that He will keep all of His promises. He will fulfill all, every one of those promises. Aren't you glad for that? What are His promises concerning Scripture? We go back to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 10. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses, thy vats shall burst with new wine. Guys, Chick-fil-A has good chicken, right? Who's with me? Can I have an amen? You can't be Baptist and sit here and not say amen to chicken. But you know what better than their chicken is? They're standing on the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they say, we're not going to be open on Sunday. You know why? Why? Because we're going to honor the Lord. Google it. Google how much Chick-fil-A does in world missions. You see, guys, we've gotten to this place in our life where we don't believe the promises of God anymore. And so therefore, we think we have to operate like the world so that God would bless us. And we've got to come up with all these schemes and all these giving campaigns. I have people calling us all the time wanting to come in and teach us how we can have these campaigns to increase our giving. And my thought is, why don't we just teach people what the Word of God says? It'll weed them out. It'll weed out the ones who are serious and who are not. There, you cannot deny that God says there are certain promises that come when you give. Look at Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now, says the Lord. The Lord says, you want to challenge me? Prove me. You bring it in. And see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. That's a promise. Bring it in. Bring it in. And God will bless you. Prove me if you don't believe me. How about Luke 6:38? I tried every way in the world to read through this account of Luke chapter 6 and see to make sure that he was talking about giving, and Jesus is talking about giving. Given it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Jesus is saying, listen, what goes around, comes around. What you give to people, and how you give to the missions and give to the world when you need it, God's going to bring it around to you. It's a promise. But the problem is, we say, well, that's for someone else. That's in the Bible, but He really wasn't talking to us. But come on, man. Do you believe the Bible or not? Do you believe it or not? The problem is, we don't believe it. Let's start living like we believe it. Who's with me? Let's just start believing the simple Bible, man. It says it, let's do it. Let's quit arguing with it. Let's try to explain it away. Who cares about what Dr. So-and-so says? Let's see. Well, I care what God says. Can I get an amen? Somebody, you're scaring me. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, look at this promise. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. If you'll go to verse 7 for me. Love technology, said no one ever. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Verse 8, please. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, now watch this, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Wow. Do you see what he is saying? I hear countless people say, for my God shall supply all your needs in Christ Jesus. You know what I want to say? You know why he told Philippians that, the church at Philippi that? Because they were a missions-giving church. He was saying because you were participating in God's work and you were giving of yourselves and you were giving all this money to God's kingdom and His work, He's going to make sure you got enough. But do we believe the promises of God? Can I be honest with you? I'm a pastor. And sometimes I look at the week ahead and I struggle and I think, man, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And that's an opportunity for me to believe the promise of God or to reason myself. And I stand before you ashamedly and say there have been times in my life where I chose my flesh and myself rather than believing the promise of God. Now let me ask you the outcome. Was God honored when I chose my flesh and myself?
No.
Was God honored when I say, God, I believe you, I don't know how it's going to work, I'm going to trust you, I'm going to do it? Was God honored? He was honored. I was talking to Keith Matheny, by the way. Keith will be here next week. He'll be speaking a message to you. And I was talking to Keith and I was telling him this and I was preaching it to him and getting him fired up. And I was telling him, Keith, I said, do you believe the Word of God? He says, yes, I believe the Word of God. And I said, well, what do you say we act like we believe it? Why don't we, church, just start acting like we believe it? He said, man, you ought to take up the offering at the end of church instead of the beginning after that message. I said, no, it's not about that. It's not about that. Because there are churches all over the land who are flourishing. Listen, there was a time in our church when we had a big bunch of money, and these deacons will tell you that, and we sat on it with our sanctuary looking in disrepair, and we sat on that money because we were afraid to spend it for God's glory, and we were wrong because we did not believe the promises of God. And God says, listen, you're not a bank. And if you're not going to use it for my glory, I'm going to send it to somebody who will. And what I'm telling you is, I'm taking the matter seriously of this matter of giving. And we as a church take this matter seriously. And we're going to believe in His promises. And we're going to try to do everything right and do everything according to His Word. And I'm telling you, if you want to honor God, remember He said in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 30, you don't have to pull it up, but He says this, them that honor Me, I will honor. It's a promise of God. Either you believe God or you don't. And I am telling you this, there's this notion that, man, if God would just give me more money, I could do all this and all this and all this. The Bible doesn't work. God's principles don't work that way. Jesus said, if you're faithful in the little things, I'll make you ruler of much. You start where you are and what you can do, and God will bless you. And He might bring you to the place where you can do more. Ruth Graham tells about the time when she and Billy were starting out in ministry, and they'd gone to a crusade, and Billy Graham was sitting on the stage and they were taking up an offering, and they came by him and put the offering in his face. As a guest speaker, you normally don't do that. Well, he reached in his wallet, thought he grabbed a 10, but he threw a $100 bill in there. This is the last $100 bill he had. They're in the car afterwards and they're going home. And she said, Ruth, I reached in my wallet. I thought I was giving $10 and I gave a $100 bill. That's our $100. And she reached over and patted Billy on the shoulder and said, it's okay, Billy. God will honor you for that $10. Guys, it's a simple matter of believing the Word. I am so fed up with trying to be creative and do all this stuff. It's simple. Do you want to walk with God or not? Do you want to honor God or not? And it's as simple as this. I want to honor God with all my possessions and with my first fruits. I want. Guys that are starting out, young guys, you got the young couples class. Let me tell you something. You got your whole life ahead of you. And there are men and women here who are on the other end of their lives, and they'll tell you that you can struggle financially and it can cause you a lot of problems. And you can save a lot of heartache right now when you commit, Lord, the first 10 I'm going to give to You, and anything else You lay on my heart, I'm going to be faithful to You. And you can avoid a lot of problems. Or you can go down there and stand at the store for the next latest, greatest thing to come out, stand in line with everybody else, and make sure you got it because it's going to make you happy for 3 days. Or until the first payment comes. Can I get an amen on that? You know, how many of us have bought that car and we're showing pictures to everybody when we bought it? Yeah, man, look at this. And the first payment rolls around, we're like, dear Lord, what'd I do? You know it's true. That's why we're laughing. Can I ask you this? And maybe you are. I don't know. I don't know. And I want to be frank with you. As a matter of fact, I'm going to turn my recording off so this doesn't go on the internet. So just give me, I'm going to